Welcome to the Gut Podcast on the paper. Fecal microbial transfer and complex carbohydrates mediate protection against COPD. Published in paper copy in Gut in May 2024. My name is Dr. Philip Smith, Digital and Education Editor of Gut and Honorary Consultant Gastroenterologist at the Royal Liverpool Hospital, Liverpool, United Kingdom. And I extend a very warm welcome to Dr. Curtis Budden from the Immune Health Programme, the University of Newcastle and Hunter Medical Research Institute, Newcastle, New South Wales, Australia, and Professor Philip Hansbrough, who is also a conjoint now and a director of the Centenary Institute and University of Technology Sydney Centre for Inflammation, Sydney, New South Wales, Australia. Dr. Budden is one of the first authors on this paper, and Professor Hansbrough is the senior author on this excellent paper. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining me today from the other side of the world. It's great to speak to our cousins in Australia, and thanks for doing this podcast, and congratulations on your superb paper. Firstly, Professor Hansbrough, could I ask you to explain the background to your paper and why researching this area is important?
So this all started off with a conference that I went to some years ago that showed very strong epidemiological links between the gut and the lung, in that more than 50% of people with inflammatory bowel disease have lung inflammation. And people with COPD of the lung are three times more likely to have gut disease. And so from there, we developed the concept of, and pioneered the concept of, the gut-lung axis. And so as part of this, there are trillions of bacteria in the gut of over 1,000 species. And anything that is in the gut or is produced by the bacteria or diet that we take into the gut and that is then metabolized by our bodies and bacteria, anything that's produced is absorbed through the gut wall, and then it goes into the bloodstream, and from there it can travel to the lung and affects the lung. So then, to me, it becomes logical of why changes in the gut might be important in lung disease. And so in a previous study, we defined the changes in gut microbiomes and metabolomes in human patients with COPD. And so in this study, what we did was we tried to define what the differences are in experimental COPD. And then, can we use this information to change the gut microbiome with either microbial transfers or by using changes in the diet to affect changes in the microbiome, what is absorbed through the gut wall, and the pathogenesis of COPD in experimental models.
Wow, that sounds really interesting. So could you explain, Dr. Budden, what are the new findings your paper has highlighted?
Certainly, and thank you from my perspective for having us on here as well. So as Phil mentioned, this work was building upon our earlier study showing an association with the gut microbiome in COPD, and we were able to actually show a causal effect by administering fecal microbial transfers and showing that this was able to provide protection against the pathological features of COPD in our experimental model. One of the things that was really exciting about this data as it came out was that we were able to show that it actually had additional protective effects even after smoking cessation. And this is important because in COPD, once a disease is established, even if people take away the smoking or the other factor that's causing it, such as air pollution, the disease will continue to progress. So showing this additive protection with the fecal microbial transfers was really exciting for us. The second thing we're able to show is how much of these changes and the immune dysfunction that occurs in COPD is actually mediated by the microbiome. And one of the ways we did this was by taking the microbiome from mice exposed to cigarette smoke And we were actually able to transfer that into naive mice. So these mice had had no exposure to the cigarette smoke themselves, but were just receiving the microbiome. And this actually led to inflammation in the lungs, but also immune suppression in the gastrointestinal tract that was going to contribute to a lot of the dysfunction that we do see in COPD patients and this gastrointestinal comorbidity. We're also able to explore a little bit of the mechanisms that are driving the changes in the microbiome and how fecal microbial transfer was having a restorative effect. And this was associated both with that immune dysfunction and the dampening of immune responses in the gut, but also with some evidence that there was competitive inhibition from the healthy and protective microbiota in non-smoke exposed mice. We're then also able to extend this work, and this is really one of the areas that we've developed the field in this particular disease quite a bit, was by looking at some of the functional outcomes in the microbiome of these mice exposed to cigarette smoke, and saw that not just the number of the bacteria that are being changed, but we were able to see proteomic and metabolomic changes in carbohydrate metabolism, oxidative stress responses, protein metabolism, and the metabolism of secondary bile acids. And these were all associated with the disease and the dysfunction that we were seeing in the lungs. And so from these, we were able to pull out, and the clearest response we had was in those changes in carbohydrate metabolism. And one of the things that's well known about the gut microbiome is that short-chain fatty acids and dietary fiber that's produced from fermentation of dietary fiber can have a protective effect in the lungs. And so we were able to look at the therapeutic potential both in mice and in a small pilot feasibility study from human patients and look at whether supplementing dietary fiber was able to provide protection against COPD. And we were able to see that in our mice and then able to extend that into these human patients and show that there was some alleviation of disease symptoms that might be indicative of a protective effect that would be able to be sustained in the longer run for these patients.
How do you think ultimately this paper might impact on clinical practice in the foreseeable future?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. One of the things we know is that the gastrointestinal comorbidities in COPD are known, but when we look at the treatment and management plans, they're not generally emphasized in the guidelines and strategies that are available. And if you look even closer at the nutritional support options that are available to COPD patients, they're really targeted towards addressing micronutrient deficiencies, in particular improving antioxidant capacity, or providing protein supplementation that's meant to help with some of the muscle wasting that patients can experience and weight loss that they experience in severe disease. And so what we'd really like to see, and hopefully this research can start to prompt some of these discussions in the community, is looking at a greater consideration of those gastrointestinal comorbidities as part of the treatment and management plan up front, and in particular this addition of dietary fiber as an effective management tool for patients. One of the things that we're really excited about with the idea of using nutrition and other microbiome-based therapies that might be available to us is that they're options that we can implement really early. And so we've got this capacity to use them as a complement to people who are ceasing smoking once they're diagnosed with disease. But even beyond that, there's this emerging concept of pre-COPD, because we know that it's a disease that develops over quite an extended period of time. And so if you know someone is at risk due to their smoking behavior or other risk factors that they might be present with, we've got the ability to start making recommendations for early interventions that are quite low risk but might have the ability to improve their disease trajectory far into the future by those early interventions.
Thank you. I completely agree that nutrition is underutilized in this sort of setting. So that's really interesting that you've mentioned that very clearly. Leading on from that, how might this paper impact on research priorities in the foreseeable future?
So that's another great question. So what we really need to do now, which is applicable to lots of microbiome studies, is to define the specific bacteria that are involved, as well as the metabolites that they're producing from the diet, and the particular dietary components that we might be able to use as a potential more specific treatments for COPD, preventions and treatments for COPD. And we can do that experimentally to work out what the best interventions are, and again, to work out cause and effect. And once we've been able to do that, we can translate them into clinical trials, test them as interventions in people, either with microbiome transfers or using metabolites or new diets or dietary components in clinical trials. We would then need to optimize their delivery. And by doing all of this, we will be able to develop these into treatments for COPD that can modify what's happening in the gut as a treatment for their lung disease. And then once we've been able to do all of that, then we could potentially apply this to other respiratory diseases that don't have a great treatments at the moment, things like severe asthma, pulmonary fibrosis, lung cancer, and other respiratory diseases.
Thank you. It sounds really, really exciting, and the opportunities sound massive for, as you say, lots of different conditions. So thank you both of you, Dr. Budd and Professor Hansborough, for doing this gut podcast today. And congratulations on your fantastic paper being published in Gut to you and to your co-authors. To our listeners, I hope you've enjoyed that podcast just now. I've really enjoyed it. Please do read the paper. The paper is on a link underneath this podcast. It's a great read and well worth you spending time looking over it as well. And do, of course, join us again in the future for further Gut podcasts. Thank you very much for listening.